It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everybody, you are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a racist jack-o'-lantern. You still get a kick out of my intro after all these years.
I do. Well, they're different every time.
I know. I don't know if people appreciate the effort I put in. Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
Denpen. Go to davincomedy.com. Click live broadcast. Pip will be there to help you out. I am your host with the most, the man with the plan, and any other generic drivel, Davin Rosenblatt. And Pip is not here. She is there, but still here. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe is fighting you cretins that are on the road in his way.
Get out of his way.
Joe will be here at some point.
Everybody listening, pull over.
Yeah, they should pull over. We got to get like Joe little Blue Hawk lights.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, maybe Christmas is coming.
Yes.
On the show, Trump gives a speech at a black college, but most black students were not welcome at the event.
Oopsie!
You can't make this up. A children's bridal costume is pulled from the shelves because it is insensitive to child brides. A city has a law where there is an age limit and a time where trick-or-treating must end. I feel like we've talked about this city before. I'm not sure, though.
We may have.
What?
We may have.
Racist jack-o'-lanterns. God, what is going on? Ann Jackson and Scam Busters as we hit the home stretch of our Ann Jackson story for now.
Wow.
And the Afterbirth show... A Major League Baseball umpire tweets he's buying an AR-15 for the impending Civil War if Donald Trump gets impeached.
Awesome.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that on the Afterbirth show. Lots of stuff to get to. So what's going on with you before I get into my stuff? What's with you?
Do you ever have some bad tuna?
Well, yeah, I mean, Joe would tell you. Joe likes to bring that story up often when we were on the road, and I had some bad tune, and I plowed through because I'm a man.
I am not – well, I'm plowing through all right.
Oh, maybe – or is it plowing through you?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
The tuna is going back to the sea.
It's taken a route that I'm not as proud of, but yeah, not good at all.
Well, where'd you get it, first of all?
Well, I went to this place that was near work, and when I worked at my old day job, I used to have tuna fish sandwich for lunch, like at least twice a week. I love tuna fish sandwiches.
Here's the thing about tuna fish. It's one of those things you could make at home and feel a little bit safer about.
Well, you know what? I never, ever, ever had a problem
place
I used to get it.
It's cheaper, and you can make it just the way you like it, and you never have to worry. I mean...
You know, I know all this is true, but this was a morning where I wasn't feeling great this morning, and I was sleeping in a little, so
get
I got
the tuna.
A late start.
So get the tuna. When things are iffy, double down. Go all in. Put your chips in the table and say, fuck it, let's see what we got.
Well, I never had a problem with that before, you know. I just you know, was really sleepy. I slept in, and then I didn't have time to bring anything for lunch, so I figured I'll go to one of the local places. I just all of a sudden started getting a hankering for a tuna fish sandwich. How hard could this be, you know?
Tuna's one of those things, though. If you're queasy in the stomach and you like tuna, you can actually tell, I'm never going to eat tuna again. The thought of it, if your stomach is not right, the thought of tuna is repulsive. It's like when you drink too much and you get like a hangover and think of drinking whatever that drink was again. You just can't.
Oh, yeah. No, Southern Comfort is forever banned from my body.
Banned.
Bandity banned.
I think I puked into my shoe on Southern Comfort.
You what? Your shoe?
I think I vomited it in my shoe on Southern Comfort.
I vomited on my back porch with Southern Comfort.
I feel like in my college days, I was at the fraternity house, and I was given too much Southern Comfort, and I was laying on the couch, and I feel like I puked in my shoe and on my keys. I feel like that might have happened.
You puked on your keys. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Southern Comfort is too sweet.
It is. And my friend and I were drinking it mixed with soda.
Ooh. Well, I don't even know the way to drink Southern Comfort. It's not something I drink.
I don't either. And we were, you know, just saying, oh, well, let's try this. And we thought we heard the people mix it with soda. So I can't remember if it was a cola or a Sprite or something like that. But it was disgusting.
Yeah.
And we had eaten... at least I had eaten a Burger King chicken sandwich earlier in the evening.
Oh, and fast food before drinking. You know, you make very poor decisions. The only way that could have been worse is if you got, back in the day, what was referred to as the Whaler. The Burger King.
That's really disgusting mixture.
Which is now the BK Fish. But back in the day, that was the Whaler.
The Whaler.
That's what it was called.
I know. I remember.
So, wow. So you got yourself some Burger King chicken. You go, you know what? Let's try a drink I've never had before. What could possibly go wrong? Much like not feeling well and going to getting a tuna sandwich from a place you've never gotten tuna before. Your decisions are amazing.
Well, I went to this place. I can't remember what it was called, but it was a deli, but it was said something about fit and something, and I thought, oh, well, maybe they have, like, you know, natural foods, or it's supposed to be, like, you know, healthy foods. I'm like, that'll be good. That'll be fine.
Maybe it was fit and shit.
It is now.
Yeah.
It is now.
So you were actually trying to be somewhat healthy.
Yes, I was.
Okay. But again, you're gambling. I mean, I gamble too with tuna, but you're gambling. And if I'm not feeling well, tuna's not the way to go. You should have gotten some chicken soup.
Well, you know what? I wasn't that sickly feeling then. You know, I mean, I was fine by the time I felt fine by the time I was going to get lunch, and I thought, oh, my old standby tuna fish sandwich. That sounds good. How hard could it be to get a tuna fish sandwich in this neighborhood? Because it's a small city. So
I could tell you, sometimes you have to travel through several states and then still not get a tuna fish sandwich. So, and Joe will attest, he was on that ride with me. So tuna is an elusive fish. It is not considered a rare fish or an endangered fish, but clearly it can be.
Yeah, but this is New York. I can get a tuna fish sandwich. You can throw a dead cat and hit a tuna fish sandwich around here.
Maybe that's what was in your tuna. Why not just go to Subway? Subway's got a decent tuna fish sandwich.
Well, you know what? There is a Subway that's equidistant that I had just never been to. And for some reason I thought No, I'd rather go to a deli. They'll have nicer bread.
Oh, really? Subway's bread is fine. You're very wrong. Subway has a wide variety of bread. You can have it toasted. It's made on premise. You can have anything you want on your sandwich. No, Subway is a fine choice.
Yeah, but I haven't eaten in Subway since the whole dog. What was his name?
Jared?
Damn. No, not Jared, but the guy that was arrested for dog fights.
Michael Vick?
Yeah. I haven't eaten there since him.
What does Michael Vick have to do with Subway?
He was advertising for them.
Okay. So?
So I stopped eating there, and then I just got used to not eating there.
Well, might be time to go back.
Well, you know what? I'm definitely not going back to the place I went this afternoon. So I go to this place and I ask for a tuna fish sandwich and I get it and you know I get a Snapple, whatever. I'm good to go.
What do you get? What's Pip Helix's tuna fish sandwich look like? What are we getting on the tuna fish sandwich?
Lettuce and tomato.
Okay.
On a round roll.
On a round roll. Okay. Now is it solid white or chunk light?
I don't know what the hell this was.
Oh, right there, you're having problems. Now, Subway makes it with chunk light, but it's a very good chunk light. Usually solid white is really the only way to go. Now, are there bits of celery or onion in this?
No.
So you got straight up tuna and mayo.
No. This is not your mother's tuna fish sandwich. It has pieces of cut up carrot.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, I like that.
No, that's wrong. That's wrong.
Well, the carrot was a welcome thing to me.
Ugh.
But it also had like when I opened up the wrapping, the outside of the bun was all wet.
That happens. I feel like sometimes they ejaculate on it because they figure we'll just think it's mayonnaise and we're not going to bring it back. But that happens sometimes.
You know, yeah, I'm thinking that somebody was, like, really excited about this tuna fish sandwich.
You know, it sounds like it wasn't mayonnaise. It was Miracle Whip.
No. It was weird. It was the tuna didn't look like it had mayo in it. It looked like it had some kind of dressing. Like, I don't know what the hell. But it also had, like, little flakes of green that looked like parsley or something.
Now I put chives in mine. That's very good.
Chive would have been a treat. I don't know what the fuck was in here.
No, but when you go to the deli, they usually have like a display case where you could look at the tuna.
And I walked down and I looked and all I saw was sliced, you know, like the meats and cheeses they would slice.
Oh, they're not even showing. They're not even showing you the tuna. That's how bad it is. They know.
No. And they had a hot food area, but I couldn't see the tuna fish. So I went to her and I was like, "Do you have tuna?" And she's like, "Oh yeah."
Yes, but nobody's really asked for it. But here, we shall get it for you. The last time we gave you, made a tuna fish sandwich was 2012.
I don't know how many years. What was the date stamp on this fucking
tuna sandwich? Fish needs to be prominently displayed with the chicken salad and the egg salad up front.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There were warning signs.
Yes. This was a completely foreign smelling, tasting.
Oh, it didn't smell good.
Weird. It smelled like it was spiced weird. And when I tasted it, it was like, this is not like a tuna fish salad that I've ever had before.
But that's okay. You know, you can be open to new things. Doesn't mean it's bad.
No, right. And I was. And then, like, at first I'm like, okay, I'm not enjoying these first couple of bites because it's not what I was expecting. But, you know, relax your expectations. See if you get to like it because it's just different.
I find I tell the women the same thing before they give me oral.
Well, you're right to issue that warning.
Relax your expectations. It's really not what you're expecting. But, you know, if you could get past the first couple tastes, you know, we might be in here for something.
You might get to like it.
You might get to like it. What do we got to lose? As President Trump, when he was running for office, said to the black people, what do you have to lose? That's the same thing when I try to convince women to blow me and a deli tries to convince you to eat their tuna fish. Same thing.
Well, yeah. So, you know what? I was trying to be open to the experience.
You're a trooper.
I'm still talking about sandwiches.
No, that's unfortunate.
So, I kept eating it, but I'm like, you know, this isn't getting any better.
Oh.
This is just yucky.
Yeah.
So I finally wrapped it up and threw it out. My coworker's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, this is really gross, because she saw me mopping off the ejaculate from the bun earlier.
Sorry, I was excited. I like tuna.
I was like, she's like, yeah, what's going on there? And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, she goes, it looks different. And I'm like, yeah, right? What is this?
Was it white or brown?
It was brownish.
Chunk light. You got the chunk light. It's a little little fishier.
Yeah, it was a little, but you know, that's okay.
No, like, no, no, it's not. No, it's
okay.
Not.
Okay.
No, it's
I don't
not.
Like that.
No, only Subway can pull off the chunk light. It's the only chunk light that's ever been acceptable. It's not okay. What are you paying for this sandwich? $6.99?
You know what? I'm not even sure. I also got a coffee, and I got the Snapple, and I got a piece of pound cake for tomorrow morning. So, it was $11 for all of that.
Oh, okay.
All right. So it wasn't like I spent a $1 billion, but now I know why I got the cut price. I got the
day old tuna.
I got last week's special.
Ugh.
I don't know what they put in this. Like, what were the spices? What are they thinking? It was like kind of like they were trying to go for some kind of spicy. It was like some non-native to me.
I've had different tuna before, and sometimes they can pull it off. But
sometimes you go, huh, this is different.
Here's what goes in tuna fish. First of all, you start with solid white.
Right.
Got to start. You got to go Hellman's mayonnaise. Mayonnaise is very important. You can't go Kraft. You can't go Miracle Whip. You can't go, you know, the supermarket strawberry. You got to get Hellman's because you deserve the best.
I really actually only buy Hellman's.
I know how to make tuna. I mean, I grew up on tuna. All right.
Yeah.
So there you go. You put in some chives. You got to have chives. We have a chive plant year round. In the summer, we have more chives. Chive plant, it's really an investment you should make. You get some nice chives.
And chives are good. Yeah.
Some people like celery. I'm not a fan of celery. You like carrots, apparently? No. Some people put onions in there? No. But you can.
No.
You could put a little black pepper. A little black pepper.
Yeah. A little bit.
A little bit. You mix that all up. Put a little bit of butter or a butter substitute on your bread. You're done. You could put your lettuce, tomato, whatever you want. But that's what you're putting in tuna fish. There's no reason to get crazy. Some people I've seen, some of these places, they put like oil and vinegar. You want oil and vinegar on your tuna sandwich? No, because then it's going to curdle in my stomach. I don't want that. What is wrong with you?
I don't mind the oil and vinegar if they put that rather than the butter on the bread. I've never heard of that.
No, well, yeah, no. I go with the I can't believe it's not butter.
Oh, okay. I can't believe you put butter on your bread.
No, it's good. It makes it a little moister. It's good.
Okay. With that slight difference, I'm down with everything that you said goes into it. You know, celery chopped fine, carrots small, onion nice. All that stuff is good. I don't know what the fuck was in this sandwich. It was not of this earth. It was a bad sandwich. I was really hungry, and I threw more than half of it away.
You could have gone back and said, you could have asked and go, what'd you do?
No, my lunch hour was over.
Yeah.
Done. So I was like, ew, never eating there again. Ew, ew, ew. So I'm welcoming the idea of going to Subway again, because that can't happen again.
Subway makes a fine tuna sandwich. Subway makes a fine sandwich. But again, I recommend making your own tuna. It's very easy to do. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've done that plenty of times. I didn't get my act together.
Yeah, I mean, we actually bring cans of tuna fish with us to Atlantis.
Yeah. I sometimes bring a salad and a can of tuna with me.
Sure.
That's what I'll have for lunch.
Then you put a little Italian dressing on that, you're good to go.
Actually, I have this really good French that I like.
Yeah,
but
there's more, you could do that. There's more calories in that. Try the Italian. Try the robust Italian. It's nice.
Yeah. No, I know. I sometimes balsamic vinegar.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, no, it's nice. It's good. Well, yeah. All that stuff is good.
So then what? Now your tummy's all upset?
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, it started at work, and it has not stopped.
Now you're probably turned off. I'm surprised you can even talk about it, because tuna is one of those things, you know, it can turn you off.
You know what? I just got that little, like, oh, I feel nauseous feeling in my back of my mouth.
I mean, Joe likes to tell the story how we were in Subway and I was already ill, and I thought the tuna fish sandwich tasted funny. He's like, "So stop eating." I'm like, "Eh," and I plowed through and I was okay. But that's the only time I had a bad. But you really, when tuna tastes off, you got to stop. Tuna's not really a food you can muscle through. Any type of fish that tastes off, you can't muscle through it.
No. I mean, I just thought it was because it was spiced differently than I was used to, and I should just not be a baby and try new things, but it was like, I couldn't.
Oh, you know what else is good in tuna? Relish. Put a little relish in there. That can be fun.
Oh, that's good, too. Yeah. I can't believe we're so enthused about tuna fish sandwiches, but it's one of my favorites.
20 minutes on, 20 minutes on tuna fish tells you how unprepared for this show we are.
No, this is what prepared me to not be at the show.
Yes, I see. Yes.
I have lost my train of thought is what I have.
Okay.
Darn. Yeah, okay, that happens a lot. That happens all the damn time.
Anything else?
Yeah. I went to Chiller.
Okay.
Past weekend. And that, you know, normally we would go on, say, a Saturday when there's a lot of stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
Chiller, for the people who don't know, is a weird kind of mixed bag of a convention. It's like Comic-Con, but much smaller and much weirder, because it's like horror stuff and old TV show people and old movie people and wrestlers and a couple of other weird, like, you know, people who you haven't thought about in years.
Okay.
There and they.
So my ex girlfriend was at Chiller. That's exciting.
Oh really? When was this?
Well, you said people I hadn't thought about in years.
Yes, all those people are there. Yeah, there's like a weird mix of people who just like to have fun and get a nostalgic time seeing people that they saw on TV when they were kids, and you know, people like horror movies, and then there's like, you know, middle-aged guys furtively running around with like brown bags full of comic books that they bought there, and shifty eyes, and
a lot of virgins.
And I have found to my dismay that if I dress even slightly less better than clothes I've slept in for 3 days, you know, like if you've had a flu and you stayed in the same pajamas,
mm-hmm.
if I look ever so slightly better than that, I can get picked up at Chiller.
Really? Good for you.
Yeah. If something happens, if Mr. Helick, you know, comes to his senses and ever leaves me, I know that at least there's there.
No, he's not going anywhere. You got benefits. You're fine.
You think?
Oh, I know it. I know it.
So anyway, and it's really kind of frightening. But it's also a lot of fun. Like, we saw Shirley Jones, who was the mom on the Partridge Family.
Oh, it's good to know she's still alive. I was watching the Partridge Family the other day.
Really?
Yeah, it's on, like, one of those, like, antenna TV or something. It was on early. Like a good Partridge Family.
You know, I haven't watched that in so many years. I wouldn't know what to talk to her about. Like, hey, you were good.
Well, she was also on Drew Carey.
Yeah. What's that?
She was on Drew Carey.
I didn't know that.
She played his older love interest, as I recall.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. I didn't know that. I would not know what to say to her. But you know what's really funny is that the first minute we walked in, now, Sunday is their wind down day. So even people who were there the whole thing, they're just like, yeah, I'm so done. And a lot of people just leave. The people who are supposed to be there. They just, yeah, I'm not doing Sunday. Fuck this. They're just done.
That's unfortunate. So
yeah, I know. But we were going to see our friends, the ladies who, Tish and Snooki, who run Manic Panic. And then we're going to see Dennis Dunaway, who was the original guitarist in the Alice Cooper Band. So
this screams Mr. Helix all over it.
No, actually, it's a little bit Mr. Helix, but it's also our friend Mercedes.
Oh yeah,
who was a big Alice Cooper fan.
Yes, yes.
So we went to see them, and we were like, whatever else we see is just a bonus, and we'll go shop in their big auditorium of weird stuff. And so we were just like checking out who was there. Wilford Brimley, the guy who was in Cocoon.
And Oatmeal.
And was, yes, and Diabetes.
Yeah, Diabetes.
Diabetes. So he was there. He looked, I looked across the room and I'm like, oh my God, you poor dude. I thought you were old before.
What's he, like 90?
I guess he's in his 80s or something. He was actually pretty young when he was in Cocoon.
I know, but he's been old a long time. He's one of these people that's played old.
Yes, he played older than himself,
yeah,
starting like early. So
yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, I didn't know he was still alive, you know?
You should have gone up to him and go, I got to tell you, I really like Farina better.
He'd be like, I don't give a shit.
No, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
All those people, there are people there that I've met at Chiller that are absolutely lovely. And there are some people that are like, are you going to give me money for a picture or a signed picture? Or a picture with me?
Is that what it is? You have to pay for each picture individually?
Each person is different, but yes, a lot of them. Melissa Gilbert.
Oh, yeah.
Was half pint. Remember?
Yeah, a Little House on the Prairie. We love us some Melissa Gilbert.
Yeah. $70 to take a picture with her.
It's a little much. A little much
yeah.
Half pint.
You think? That's like, I wouldn't pay an Uber for a ride that costs that much.
How much? Does she still look good?
She looked okay, yeah.
Starting to wear down.
I mean, you know, she's getting towards middle age, but I only saw her from a distance. I was actually paying attention to her dog, and then I looked up and was like, oh, look, he's sitting at the table.
Why does she have her dog with her?
A lot of people bring dogs.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So there was some little dog on the road. Street, and I'm not on the street, oh God, on the floor, and I'm like, oh, look at the little doggy, and then I look up, and I'm like, oh my God, there's Half Pint. So, there were some interesting people like that, you know, but the weird.
Who the fuck is paying $70 for that picture?
I don't know. I mean, are there guys who, like, got off to Melissa Gilbert, and they want pictures with her?
I mean, she was cute.
Yeah, but, I mean, would you have thought, like, as she got older on the show, it was like hubba hubba?
I mean, listen, I'm the wrong guy to ask. We know I don't really ask for autographs. I'm certainly not paying $70 for a picture where I'm going to embarrass myself and make the celebrity feel awkward. So, I mean, yeah.
I know. It's all really weird. Well, the weirdest, not weirdest, but, like, an interesting interaction I had was, there's this actor, I forget his name, but he's like one of these character actors that you see in all kinds of things. And I forgot for a second that we were walking into a hotel that was going to be loaded with like actors and like old-timey people that you would recognize but not know the name of. I forgot for a second that I should expect to run into people that I recognized. And I walked like right past this guy, and I turned around and looked at him because I recognized him, and then he turned and looked at me like he knew me, and I go, hi, it's so nice to see you, and he goes, it's so nice to see you, and I'm like, dude, we don't know each other, you know, but I just said I liked his work, and I remembered him particularly from an episode of Law and Order, but he's been in like everything. And he said, oh, why, thank you. And I said, well, have a good day, because he's obviously leaving.
Right.
I didn't know what to say. But it was like, oh, yeah, that's right. There's going to be lots of those people. But it was just so shocking to walk into him. Like, oh.
So who did you pay to see? Who did you pay to have a picture with?
Nobody.
Yeah, I see people posting, like, with the pictures. You know, I never really thought that they were paying as much as $70 for it. I guess, whatever. I mean, listen, it's validation. People like to do it. You get the dopamine from social media likes. So, I guess.
Well, and also you get, because if you pay for that, a lot of them will spend a little time talking with you and stuff. So, yeah. It's kind of like, if it was like your favorite person or somebody that you just like, it was really sentimental and you're like, oh, I'd love to have a picture with them because it would make you feel good. You know, like $25 is about what I'd be willing to spend, but $70?
Yeah, it's a little much for Laura Ingalls.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit much.
Did she have, was there a lot of people, was there a line for her?
When we walked in, no one was near her.
You know, well, that's why, you know what, then you have to start going with the little red line, you know, last day special, 70, 60, 50, 25, I'll pay you, somebody talk to me, please.
Right, somebody talk to me, please. It was Sunday, it was raining out. The place was pretty empty. There was, like, nobody near her. I think that they were all like, you know, can't we pack up soon?
Yeah, I don't think this sounds like a place that I would do well in.
No. First of all, when it's hopping, there's lots of lines to stand on, and it's crowded as fuck. And then when it's dull, it's, like, really deadly dull.
Yeah. I'm just not, I don't want to wait online to meet somebody. I've done that. I certainly don't want to pay. When I was a kid, I would do it like if I was at a baseball card show, you know, maybe. But I'm not a fucking kid. I'm an adult.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people are just not into it at all. And other people, this is their bread and butter.
No, I got friends like that. Or whenever there's like a book signing, they'll buy their book so they could go to whatever the bookstore is and take a picture with them. Okay.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's fine.
I like to get my book signed.
Yeah, is it?
No, it's fun. Yeah. I got Roger Daltrey to sign his book.
All right, and a cat will piss on it and it'll be gone.
Pretty much.
Yeah. No, listen, I'm just not into, but yeah, it's cool. I know it's people's thing. You know, listen, you know, maybe you did something where you got like, you know, you got members of the cast, like you, like back in the day, you got Michael Landon's autograph, and you know she's the last one for the collection. You know, who knows?
Yeah, you know, I really can't poke fun at anybody who is like a big fan like that because you know I've got my fandom stuff, and you know, I know a lot of people who just like they go absolutely gaga meeting the people that are in the movies and shows that they love so much, and they like to talk about the show and how it's done and all these things. And, you know, I mean, the people who are just like fans and have fun doing that are great. The people who go up to them because they don't know the difference between their character or their persona and the actual person, they're scary.
I feel like the uglier you are, the more attached you are to this type of lifestyle. Tell me I'm wrong. I'm open to argue this, but I just feel that's where it is. I feel like attractive people don't need this type of validation.
So what are you telling me?
You didn't pay for anybody's autograph.
I know, but that's not. You're that not, just means that there was nobody there this year that I was interested
no,
in.
No, but you're not, like, all into it, like, where you're stalking these people and you need to talk their ear off. You're not that.
No.
No, I'm talking to people that go all the time. You know, they have to have all the pictures. They're pretty ugly people.
Not everybody, but there is.
Not everybody.
Certainly. There
most.
Is a fair amount of ugh.
I'm going to say 90%. You're going to say
90%. No, that's high.
I don't think so. Yeah, but your standards are much lower than mine.
Oh, great. So now it's me and Mr. Elix.
No, I'm not. No, but I'm like, you don't judge people as harshly. You're a better human being than I am.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but I would say, look, I would say it's like 70%.
Listen, here's what I'm going to say. There's a lot of bad skin, a lot of bad teeth. A lot of poor clothing choices, and voluptuous plus people, and very, very, very thin people, probably a good amount of dandruff, you know, amongst the people. Yeah, there's, you know, come on. I mean, people that have their shit together, especially adults. Listen, if you're a teenager, I get it. You know, if you're not getting laid, you got to focus on something. I get it. But when you get to be our age, there's issues. There's issues. You know, the good Lord has not been kind to you. You need to get that validation from the person of your affection and from your like-minded, ugly people who will see this and be impressed by it. I get it. We all have something we need. I get it. But let's be honest. You know, sixes and above are not generally all in for this. And six is not very attractive, by the way. Six is, you know, a little better than average, you know. But six is, like, you're not seeing eight and nines, guys and girls, falling over these people. You're just not.
No. I would say there are not, like, eights and nines.
No!
You're right.
Yes, of course I am. You know, you know what? I'm like the president. I speak the truth. I speak the uncomfortable truth that people need to hear. That's what I do.
You're what?
I tell it like it is.
Oh, God, you're making me ill. More ill than myself.
No, that's the tuna fish.
No, I don't think so. You're comparing yourself to Trump.
I know all the ugly people. No, but there's something to be said, because attractive people get that type of attention, and most of us want that type of attention, that dopamine hit. They get it from someplace else. That's why they all, you know, guys are posing with, you know, their huge arms or topless. Girls are posing hardly wearing anything, you know, with their butt out or their boobs out, you know, but because they're getting it from other people.
The people that are attractive go to Comic-Con.
No, yes. No, that's different too, because you will get some hotties in there. But they know, but like, here's the thing. If you're a hot girl at Comic-Con, you know that you're a 10 in this situation, but in a lot of other places, you're a 5 because it's on a scale, because a lot of these guys are not getting access to girls. There's something to be said for that, too, where you could, well, wow, this is what really attractive people feel like. Trust me, if I had a way to do that, actually, I do. Comedy is that. I mean, you know, I don't really talk to anybody, but if I had any sort of game, I mean, comedy is that, you know, the center of attention to get, you know, fawning people that would probably never usually give you the time of day to pay attention to you? Yeah, of course it is. We all have it.
Yeah. No, I know that. I mean, you know, when you do any sort of entertainment, people pay more attention to you than they would in you know, just like walking through the mall if you're, like, not, like, you know, super hot.
Let me tell you something. Comedy has gotten more breasts pressed up against me than I would if I was just working as an accountant or a lawyer.
Well, now, we talked about this once. We were talking about boobs and about, you know, like, what is the attraction of, like, touching them and everything. And you're like, you know, it's really, you know, something for the girl because she's feeling it. But guys like boobs pressed.
No, I mean, no, it's not even attraction. I'm just saying, you know, attractive women because you made them laugh. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. So if you're like a 6... Like, you know, if you're a 6, but you can squeeze yourself into a Batgirl costume that looks pretty good, well, you know, at Comic-Con, you're now a 10.
Right. Oh, yeah, but they're actually, at Comic-Con, it seems to me, that there are, like, 8s and 9s.
It's possible.
Like, legitimate.
Well, you know why? Because Marvel has made all that shit cool.
Yeah.
Marvel has mainstreamed it with the success of their movies. Chiller has not.
Yeah. No, Chiller is a real ragtag bag of people.
Yeah.
You know?
No, but I mean, it's fine, but we must understand, for me to give the complete picture to our audience, who is going there, and it's fine. It's completely fine. But you know the celebrities are thinking, God damn it, 50 years ago I could have gotten a piece of ass. Now look what's coming at me.
I'm sure there are some people sitting at tables, and especially when it's like a rundown Sunday and it's raining, no one is coming near them, and they're just sitting there going, why am I sitting here for the three uggos that are going to come and visit?
Oh, it's terrible. It's like after the show if you're selling merch and everybody's going to the other comics table and nobody's fucking talking to you. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Thank God for the invention of phones so you can pretend you're busy.
Right. Right, because it used to be that people would just sit there going, woe is me.
Yeah, now I could look like I'm really doing something. Oh, thank God.
Thank God I'm involved in some business. I don't need you people to buy my shot glasses.
No, but I mean, listen, that's all I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with this thing, but, you know, you got to know who's going to what things.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I don't remember which convention it was, but there was one where that we went to that had, like, really big people. And I remember standing online to meet somebody or another because we wanted to meet some of these people. And Pee Wee Herman walks past me, and he's talking to some guy. And they're having a conversation over my head. And Pee Wee's basically, I'm standing online, and he's standing there, like, talking to the guy, like, basically through my ear. I was like, what the fuck, dude?
Hey, listen, you should just be happy he didn't come on you, all right? You know, it's a good day.
Yeah. Yes. You know what, though? I would have kept that dress for evidence.
Yeah, sure. $70. You know, you can meet Melissa Gilbert or Pee Wee will come on you.
Well, you know what? I'd rather have Melissa Gilbert of the two.
No,
really.
But I'm sure it's like the same thing if you see, like Gilbert Gottfried's playing a lot of shows in our area. You know, I'm sure it's very exciting. I've seen it to meet him. I saw it with, like, Dustin Diamond. You know, people like... But Dustin Diamond had and this is years ago, had a very attractive audience. I've talked about that before. The best-looking audience, men and women, I've ever performed in front of was opening for Dustin Diamond. And thank God they really liked me. But, yeah. But that was years ago. So I don't know what a Dustin audience looks like now. But back then, it was men and women in their 20s. Incredibly good-looking women. The guys were good-looking, too. I don't know what it is now.
Shocking, though.
Not really. I mean, you know, people grew up on Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, I know. But, like, I'm surprised they didn't realize it was going to be, like, you know, so lame.
Nah, he was fine.
He was fine?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was okay. I mean, people liked him. It was fine.
Oh, right. Like, I had the feeling that he was more lame. But,
I mean, no, I mean, he has a bad rap. I mean, we've talked about this before, Joe and I and you. But, no, I thought he did fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. He was nice to me. He was nice to my wife. I got along well with him.
Well, that's what we want. Yeah. We want him to be nice to the wife.
Yeah, there's a picture of us somewhere. It used to be on the website.
That's funny.
Yeah, you know what? But even when I'm working with celebrities, I don't even ask them for pictures.
You know, there comes a time, there are moments where it's like, this is not going to be cool, you know, like when we were working with, I'm trying to think of Joe's pal there.
Anthony?
Company. Yeah, when we were over there, I never asked him for a picture or anything, but then somebody that was there was asking for a picture, and we got in the picture, and it's like, well, all right, if you're going to do this, I'll do this.
Yeah, we had Will DeVokies on the show, and we had Sergeant Padula on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, if you guys are going to jump in a picture, you know, that's cool. But I would have felt very weird going, can I have a picture with you, man?
Well, because we were there all the time.
Yeah, and it just felt like we're past the point of asking for, like, fan stuff.
Yeah. But, you know
it felt really weird.
That's all right. Anything else?
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it.
So I did a show at an Elks club. And the comic who put it together said he was going to join the Elks, and they were very excited. And after the show, they gave him an application, and I'm just listening. One of the questions is they asked him if he believes in God. I thought that, like, it's part of the application process. Like, I thought that was weird. I mean, I get it for the Knights of Columbus, because that's a Catholic organization. But I just thought that was kind of weird for an Elks Club application.
I'm really kind of surprised.
Well, so was I. That's why I bring it up.
Yeah, I mean, like, why is that? Who is their backer, if you know what I mean? Like you said, Knights of Columbus, that's Catholic, but who's behind them that they care if, you know, that you're not a godless heathen?
Forest creatures, because it's an Elks.
Forest creatures are very upset that you're not a godless creature, you know, that to want to make sure you're not a godless heathen.
Look, I don't even know what I would say. It's like, well, that's weird. I mean, he said yes because he does, and that's fine. But I was just like, I'd be like, excuse me?
Yeah, I know. I would, too.
I mean, that's a really personal question to get cheap beer and raise some money for good causes, you know, and hang, you know, it's a very weird question.
It is. Like, what's it to you? Like, so if you say no, you're out?
I don't know.
I mean, are you applying to be somebody's godparent, or are you going to be an elk?
I don't know. I always look at those organizations, and they do good stuff, and I like doing shows for them. But I always looked at it as like the Flintstones, watching with the Grand Poobah and the Water Buffalo.
Yes, yes. I picture them with fezes on their heads.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine for people, you know, but I'm just, I don't know. I pledged a fraternity. That was enough. Pledged two fraternities. That's enough.
I just don't know what they do. I mean, you sit around in the clubhouse having beers and arguing about the same stuff you always do. Like, what is that fun?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I mean, I guess if you're one of those people who likes to drink socially, sure.
I guess.
Because they all have bars and all, and they do stuff. I know the Elks, you know, do a lot of stuff for children and everything, so it's cool. I find that, like, Elks are usually a little older, but not as old as some. And it's weird, depending on the animal, depends on the level of degenerate you're dealing with. Elks are all right. But, like, you know, I've done some moose lodges. We go, ooh, I don't even know if they'd let you into Chiller.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's scary.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't think I've ever experienced a moose lodge.
Oh, yeah, I've done, because as a comic, I've done shows. You got your moose, your elks, your eagles, your Freemasons.
There's something about the Freemasons. They're supposed to have some secret society, and the whole legend is that, you know, it goes back in time, and all these famous people were Freemasons, and there's some secret they're all carrying.
I think Sensei's a Freemason.
He is, and he wouldn't tell me the secret.
Did you ask?
I did.
And what'd he say?
No.
Oh, well, there you go.
It was as simple as that. And I know he can take me because he's a black belt.
Many times over. Yeah, I mean, even the Elks have, like, a secret indoctrination process. When I pledged a fraternity, everybody's got a secret fucking process.
I know, but isn't some of it just BS?
Well, in my case, it was eating a lot of horrible things.
Oh.
But yeah.
Well, then Joe is in a fraternity.
Yeah. Delta Phi Stupid.
I didn't know I was in a fraternity too.
Well, you are after today's tuna fish.
Yes, that was part of my pledging, wasn't it?
No, I mean, I don't know. Listen, I get it. You want to be part of a club. I get it. Whatever. Again, it's not me.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to do it in college because I was very young in college, and I needed booze. And really,
right.
I didn't have a fake ID. I paid for a fake ID. I didn't get the fucking fake ID. But
oh, man.
Yeah, it's, well, what are you? Shocking that people who make fake licenses wouldn't stick to their word. It's weird how that happens.
I mean, I can't believe that they would let you down like that.
I know. But, yeah, I mean,
disappointing.
I lived on campus, and, you know, you needed friends. You needed a place to drink.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Especially if I was a guy and I wanted a place where I was definitely going to meet some girls. A frat makes sense for that.
Not for me, but for other people, yes.
Like, sororities just seem like we didn't have a Greek system that was really, like, they didn't have houses.
We went to the same school. We went to the same school.
No, I originally went to Trenton.
Oh, okay. Well, Montclair had fraternity houses, just not on campus.
Right, I know. But, I mean, I was a commuter, and I was older, and there was no way I was going to be involved in any of that nonsense then. If I didn't do it when I first went to school, I certainly wasn't going to do it then.
Well, we had older, we had older people join.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
I feel like we had people in my fraternity that were like in their mid to late 20s. I think that was a thing, which is like really fucking creepy.
Well, yeah, and that's where I was when I went back to school. So it's like, yeah, no, thanks, no. You know, It's like, I've lived a little bit of life. I don't want to do this.
I always got from classmates, they were always stunned I was in a fraternity. It's like, oh, you don't seem like a fraternity guy. I'm like, I don't even know what that means, but thank you.
I don't know what that means either, really.
I guess because I didn't seem like, I don't know, all jockey, all drinky, all misogyny, maybe? Like the worst stereotypes of it?
All misogyny, all the time.
I mean, stuff that now I'm probably very fraternity.
No, you're not.
Oh, yes.
No, you're not.
Give me your young whores. That's what I says.
Yeah, but you said that in front of the pet store, and that scared people.
Why did that scare people?
Because they don't know if you're into bestiality at that point.
Oh, okay. All right.
Give me your young horse.
Okay. Not horses, whores.
Oh, all right then. Well, then carry on.
All right. So, I just thought that was a weird question. And then, I don't know. Is this a major birthday? Monday, I turned 45. Is that a major one?
It's not. I'm sorry to say, but
it's not, you loser. Move on.
Early happy birthday.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. No, it's not like one of the biggies. When you hit 40, everybody goes, whoa. And then when you hit 50, it's like, oh, my God. But 45 is kind of middling, you know.
Well, I mean, I am, I guess, technically middle-aged if I'm lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, middle-aged doesn't mean the middle of your life.
It really should.
Well, it's not a guarantee that this is the middle of your life.
I said if I'm lucky.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, let's be honest. I'm on the back nine.
Well, what's that make me? You know.
Listen, you know what? If you try to get into the clubhouse one more time before you go.
I'm just closer to death than you.
You are.
Well, I am.
Not necessarily. I mean, there's no way of knowing. But chances are yes.
Well,
but then again, women live longer.
Yes, but if the guy I hire shoots straight.
Ah, I see. you crack yourself up.
No, somebody's got it. Somebody. Anybody.
So it's like, you know, you start taking stock of things. So yeah,
I'm feeling philosophical.
A little bit. First of all, I feel fucking great.
Yeah,
I feel great. I feel like the working out pretty much 4 to 6 to even 7 times a week, whatever it is, whatever program I'm doing, the past 2+ years, I feel like that's paid off. Not in my appearance, but I feel like. I feel like it's probably made me healthier.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, part of it is to feel better.
I feel good. I got my blood work back last week. You know, before I had like crazy cholesterol and shit. Now with the medicine and the changing I'm eating, average. I'm average. Okay, I'll be average.
Nice.
Still got to be on meds, but.
Yeah, but you know what? Average is good in this instance.
Yeah, happy to be average. So I feel like I'm not 45, but I feel like recently my face is starting to let me down.
Wait, if it's letting you down, no, I won't finish that. What do you mean it's starting to let you down?
You know, for a long time, I looked good. It was my classmates that were aging. I would look at their pictures on social media and I go, ah, what happened to you? Now I look in the mirror and go, ah, what happened to me? Actually, no, it's not when I look in the mirror. I look in pictures. In the mirror, I look amazing. It's amazing what happens from mirror to picture. I don't know what the fuck happened. It's not film because there's no film anymore. But there is something going on from mirror to picture. I don't like it.
I completely understand that. I completely understand. There's times where I'm like putting on makeup. I'm looking in the mirror and I'm like, all right. You don't look so bad. Somebody takes a picture of me that evening. Jesus wept. What happened? What happened?
It's like, oh, they got the wrong angle. I have all the chins. I didn't look like this in the mirror.
I have all the chins. I know. What? I mean, I don't understand. Like, could we do like some 3D photography or something and see if it looks better? But there's something translating me from real live action to flat, which is not good.
No.
I don't want that to happen anymore.
Yeah, so I mean, somebody like asked me at a comedy show though last week I did, you know, now granted she was 80, but she thought I was in my 30s, so thank you still. That is still, I'm definitely that guy. Thank you so much for saying I'm younger than I really am.
You know what? I take it as a real compliment if anybody thinks I'm younger than I am.
You look younger. You look like your 40s.
Thanks.
You got a young face. You got a young face.
Yeah.
You haven't wrinkled up, which is good.
No, but I can, and that's why I'm just putting lots of whale blubber directly on my face every night.
Smart move.
Whatever it takes.
Like I haven't really wrinkled up either.
No, you haven't.
But that's probably because of I don't really drink and smoke. But then, like, I'll see a comedy video of myself, and I'll turn my back to the audience and go, hey, there's a little bit of scalp in the back of my head. That shouldn't be there. Where is my hair going?
You know, everybody has, well, I mean, that's not the particular moment, but there's moments where, you know, I see a lot of people and there's a lot of belly protuberance happening.
Belly what now?
And protuberance sticking out.
Okay.
There's a lot of bellies protruding, and I think, did it look like that when they put their shirt on this morning? Were they sucking it in for the mirror, and then now they're going about their day, and that's what it looks like in real action?
I think it depends. Like, Europeans, they wear the tight shirts, and they don't give a shit if they have a gut.
I know.
I mean, remember, a couple years ago, I went to Italy. That was, you know, I'm like, all right. I mean, I was working out like a beast. I'm like, all right, you know, fine. I guess I'm going to wear tight shit. Now I'm home, and I barely wear this shit. I'm like, oh, this is tight.
Yeah, I know. Well, anything that's tight like that has to come off.
You know? I definitely want to be straight on the picture. Look straight on. I look like I got it going on. Yeah. Get that fucking profile. So this shouldn't be. I've been working out for 2+ years. I have a strong core. What the fuck?
I know. It's really not fair. Getting older is really brutal.
I'm fighting
it. People have been telling us this for years. We didn't believe them.
Fighting it. So, and then I feel like even my hairline is starting to retreat a little bit. I'm like, you motherfucker.
don't you be a pussy. You get back in the front line.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, then again, you know, I look at my dad and my grandparents, you know, may they rest in peace. You know, I've done pretty good with the hair, but it all adds up. So you go, all right, I'm not the hot piece of ass I used to be. All right. I'm not chill or bad, but I'm not the piece of ass I used to be.
I'm not chill or bad.
Not yet.
That's the scale now.
Not yet. I'm not chill or bad. You know.
No, but none of us are exactly Fall Fashion Week good either.
Oh. No. No.
These models.
No, which is unfortunate because I work out like I should be. It is some bullshit. I'll tell you what, I'm working out like a motherfucker, and this is all I got. It's true. They say you can't outwork out your diet. Yeah, I guess you're right. So then there's that. So you go, all right. You take stock at 45. Go, all right. Shit's starting to go south. Still look better than a lot of people my age. A lot of people my age. Still look better than a lot of them.
Oh, yeah, well, this is the curve that we have to work against. You know?
But then I start to go, ugh. What's going on with your career? Oh, what a fucking failure. Ugh.
You're not a failure.
Oh, I feel like, oh, this should have been much better.
This should have been much
better. Yeah, it's like,
you know what? Not everybody is going to make the movies.
Clearly.
You know? Not everybody's going to be the very top of the game. That doesn't mean you're a failure.
Yeah. You know what? I feel with this ability, I feel like I'm pretty fucking good at this. Hasn't really worked out.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you. I feel like I'm pretty good at this comedy thing. I got a lot of skill sets. I'm a good writer now. I can talk to an audience. I can captivate a crowd. Hasn't really worked out. Feel like with this radio hosting thing, yeah, you know, feedback's pretty good. I can host the show. I got ideas. I could be an entertaining show. Hasn't fucking worked out. I go, ugh, should have stayed in law school.
What about law school?
Should have stayed in law school.
Oh, you should have stayed in law school. Oh, well, you know what? I mean, there is a part of me that always thinks that you would have made a really good lawyer because you do like a good argument.
How dare you? I do not.
Oh, yes, you do.
I most certainly do not.
I know you are, but what am I?
Exactly.
You do like a good argument because you do like to, like, shore up facts and have your, like, case ready and go to battle.
Well, I like to win.
Exactly. Like, that's what, but, you know, that's what lawyers do. So they argue a case. You love to do that. So, I mean, it is part of your natural skill set, you know? But the other thing is that a lot of good comedy is taking what's real in life and twisting it just a little bit to make it funny or make it relatable, and you're really good at doing that.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, so it's like, I think that so much of the entertainment industry is just, you have to have the right friends, be in the right place at the right time. You know, there's a lot of just magic and...
Oh, there's a lot of luck involved, and all my friends are losers, which really hurts me.
All your friends are losers.
I mean, none of you people really raised your game enough so I could ride some coattails. Let's be honest about it. You all could have done more.
No, I couldn't.
I feel like you could have.
I really don't think I could have. But thank you for thinking so.
I feel like you could have. I feel like Joe could have. I feel like there was more you folks could have done to make my career better.
You know, if I could do something and actually, like, put you on my coattails, I would. But, yeah, I'm not going to ever do that. Oh. I have to be realistic. I think if somebody walked up to me in the supermarket and said, "Aren't you?" I'd be like, "Ah! What the hell?" It would scare me more than please me.
So what I hang my hat on,
yeah,
since I have not become famous on radio or comedy, the only thing that I hang my hat on is that I know I've helped people.
Oh, absolutely.
That I know I've done with this radio show. Even our own dear Ann Jackson, I've helped her.
Yeah. I mean, it took a lot of doing.
Yes.
But you did.
And scam victims, and, you know, and I know the comedy brings joy to people. So I got that. So I go,
absolutely.
All right. It's not a completely wasted life. But then I think, yeah, but nobody remembers. You know, you're never that memorable star.
Well, you know what? I don't think that it has to be something that, you know, not everybody gets to have a moment where they impart some kind of knowledge or do something where people carry it with them for the rest of their lives.
I feel like I've done those things, but I'm not getting the recognition. I've saved a lot of people. I've saved some fucking suicides. I've saved people a lot of money, some heart. I feel a little recognition's due. A little recognition.
What would you like them to do? Send you a check?
No, I don't want money.
That's what I'm hearing.
Maybe a statue. Be nice.
A statue in your honor? It will just be knocked down by the opposing army when they come through with a tank.
That's fine. There's no guarantee I'll still be alive when the opposing army comes through. That's fine.
You know, anybody who gets recognition, eventually they get knocked down and, you know, history is unkind to them or their statue.
That's not true. That's not true. History very kind to Abraham Lincoln.
Okay. There are very few people. I don't want you to say that you think that you're Abraham Lincoln, though. Come on.
No, I don't think I'm Abraham Lincoln. Oh, let's see.
No.
Very kind of George Carlin.
Oh, very, very.
See?
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Very kind to Bernie Mac.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, right.
There's comedians that time has been kind to.
Sure.
I think that Steve Martin is universally liked.
Well, I'm talking about ones that are no longer with us. But yes, absolutely.
You know, like he hasn't gone and, you know, touched children or done something heinous.
Not yet. Not that we know of.
Halo without... Oh, God, please no. I really do like Steve Martin. Please no.
Sorry to take away your gods and idols.
No, he's not my god or idol, but it's like, Oh, God, is everybody a fucking pervert out there?
Yes.
Everybody?
Yes, they're all perverts.
It's so frustrating. I mean, recently I saw a Facebook meme of, it was like the trio of wholesomeness, and it was Mr. Rogers and Steve Irwin and the guy who paints little tiny trees.
Oh, Bob Ross.
Yeah, right. And it was like, yeah, none of these guys did something heinous that we know about, but none of them did something disgusting that we have to go, oh, that's ruined too.
So I should be in that group. I should be on that pedestal.
Yeah, you've not done anything heinous. You say terrible things, but you don't do them.
Not that we know of.
I know you pretty well. I'm pretty sure you haven't done anything heinous.
No, I just know how to keep people quiet. See, here's the here's where all these bad people who do bad things make mistakes. It's the compulsion to tell. And we used to talk about that with Craig Grant when we were doing the Avala stuff. The compulsion to tell. It's like, listen, we've all seen the movies. The villain always fucking blabs when he thinks he's ahead, and then it all comes crumbling down. If people would just shut the fuck up, which, believe it or not, I am very good at shutting the fuck up, which is why people tell me things, because I don't tell. Like, don't tell about it. Like, who the fuck am I going to tell? I don't talk about you. What am I going to talk about you for? Tell me anything you want. But I don't tell them. I tell nobody nothing. I keep my mouth fucking shut because I'm not giving any of you people anything on me. Fuck you all.
Do you know that I watched this, like a whole bunch of these videos on YouTube. I went down the rabbit hole one night, and it was all about videos on how you can tell when somebody's lying. And one of the videos was about how people who are criminals, they've done something, but they're getting away with it,
mm-hmm.
or they're being questioned about it, that there's a moment, if you look at them very carefully, they say, oh, my poor child is still missing, and I hope we find them. And then all of a sudden, a little tiny smile will creep on their face, just for a second, maybe.
Huh.
But you see this little smile creep on their face, and that's what the specialists were calling it. I don't know the exact wording because it's been a while, but that's
their tell.
That's their tell. That's their satisfaction of getting away with it.
Yeah,
of it being a creepo.
But most people, I think most people don't want to get away with it. Most people want to come clean. That's why they got to tell somebody. They can't keep it in. Oh, look what I did. It's amazing. Or they got to brag. You know, they can't just be at peace that they did whatever it is and only they know. They can't. They have to tell somebody.
But these are their little weird ways of bragging about it, because it's like they give their tell.
I feel that I do that with scammers. I do it with scammers. I mean, even today, we posted the video to promote the show, and I put all the things that we're talking about, and I'm like, and scammers too is like the last thing I said, and I'd been avoiding putting that shit up on Instagram. I put it up,
right.
And one of my scammers liked it. So.
One of your scammers liked it.
Yeah. So, either she didn't watch all the way to the end of the video, which is very possible, or she thinks it can't be me. I don't know what they think. But yeah, there's that thing. There's that, because, you know, if I really wanted to get away with it, I wouldn't put that there. And we hear the stories. I flat out tell them what I'm doing. If I really wanted to get away with it, I wouldn't do that. I know I shouldn't do that. But I get it.
Just to see how they'll react, or do they get it?
No, they never get it. They never get it.
It's unbelievable.
It must be, I don't know. If it's with me, that's like, because I really hate that they think they're getting one over on me, or maybe I feel the need to unburden myself that I'm being dishonest to them. I don't know. I really hate the fact that they think they're getting over on me. I have a new thing that I'll be doing with all my scammers, which I've never done before. If I do not hear from them in a month, they get the logo. They get the Davin's Den Scams the Scammers logo. That will be. Which I've never done, because I used to live in fear. They'll come back. They'll hack me. Blah, blah, blah. They get the logo.
That's awesome.
The only one who will not get the logo, The only one who will not get the logo is Belinda. Belinda, if I talked to her, I said, the next thing is I'm gonna tell her on video, listen, this is the deal. I saw you coming a mile away. This whole thing's been bullshit the whole time. You know it and I know it.
Well, I don't know if, like, live, if she would understand that.
I would explain it.
Okay.
I would explain from the beginning. I would explain, listen.
If you're doing that, you gotta tape.
Yeah, I will, of course.
Because I gotta hear that.
And now I know. I think I know how to get screenshot, like the capture video on my phone, on my computer too. So I think I could actually. Yeah, but I don't know if she's gonna respond to me anymore. But Belinda, I would have, because she deserves it. Or whoever played her deserves it. But I would tell the girl. I would go, listen, here's the deal. And I wouldn't tell them how I knew, but I would just say, I knew from the beginning, you know.
You can't give it away because then they'll make them better at scamming.
Yeah, which is the hard thing because I want to tell them, because so much I want to go, but why, you? This is so stupid, why would you do that? But I don't do that.
Right.
But
I understand, you know, you wanting to do that.
But actually, I do it. How often have we seen in the middle of an argument with them go, hey, you better check with the home office.
I know, and they have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. Then. But I mean, if I really...
stuff they don't get.
If I really wanted to get away with it, I wouldn't do that.
No, I know. Well, you have a little need to confess and, like, open up secrets, too.
Yeah, and I don't like them thinking that they're fooling me on this bullshit, especially when they ignore me. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. If I was in a real relationship with this person, this would eat me up.
I know.
As it is, it bothers me, and I know I'm feeding them bullshit. But I'm like, wait a minute. We're supposed to be a couple. Why are you going days without messaging me? What the fuck is wrong with you? How dare you treat me like this? Then I go, oh, well, they're not really treating me like this. They're treating a character like this. But how dare they? Imagine if I was real.
imagine if I was real.
Yes.
fake Davin is a case. He would be just like so enraged and so nuts if he felt like he was being ignored.
Well, here's the good thing about being fake Davin. Even though very often I want to reach out to get it going, the good thing is fake Davin knows this is all bullshit. So even though I might be compelled to send a message, no, I'm going to wait them out. I'm going to have them think why I'm not responding. Maybe raise their, and I've done that before, and a fucking, you know, most of the time it shakes them up, gets them back on course, giving me the attention I need.
Well, fake Davin never drunk dials. You know what I mean?
No, fake Davin's always in control. Even though fake Davin might pretend he drunk dialed.
Oh, yeah, he could. But, you know, like a real person, if they feel like their relationship is going badly, that they feel compelled to call and, like, write it. And they usually get the courage after a little imbibing. And so that's always a bad move.
No, I do it completely. I do it completely sober. Very angry, and then it's always, you know, here, and then we'll take a break. So I told you I was watching that 90 Day Fiancé show.
Right.
Love it. Great show. I can't believe I haven't watched this sooner. So it was the just fucking people looking for love in foreign countries. Yes, please give me more. So, but I told you it was the one girl seemed like a scammer, Maria, from Ukraine. Was dating this American Caesar. So they finally, they don't meet face-to-face, but she's on the video thing last night because they're doing the tell-all, and Caesar's there, and, you know, Caesar's saying, you know, that everybody has Caesar's side of the story. And she's like, you know, I hope you're happy. You know, now everybody hates me. You're making me seem like a bitch. And my girlfriend scammers have done that to me. They're like, oh, why am I? You're making me seem like bad. You're making me feel like I'm the bad person. Because you are.
You know, they're trying to make the sympathy play.
Yes, but I'm like watching. I know that tactic. I know that, you cunt. I see what you're doing. He don't see it, but I see what you're doing. It's the sympathy ploy. What was me?
I've seen this work before.
Yeah, and my girlfriend scammers do it to me. Constantly, because I'm bitching him out. I don't like the way you make me feel. You know, you don't call. How can you call this love when you disappear? You know, being the needy little fake Davin that I am. Oh, yeah. You're making me seem like the bad person. Because you are.
I told you once that I was sitting at a table with a bunch of friends, and I was talking about what we do on the show and about, you know, scamming the scammers and, you know, how the stupid tactics they use and everything. And I realized after a little while that everybody seemed to look a little nervous, and they stopped talking. And I'm like, am I talking too long? What, have I said something amiss? Like, I don't know what's going on. What I didn't realize is that somebody at the table was telling them about actually having this quote-unquote romance online with a Russian babe.
Yeah.
And all the stuff that I was saying was stuff that was happening in his relationship. And they were all nervous because they're like, oh, my God, you're talking about his girl. But I had no idea.
No. Well, I mean, that's what I think when I'm dealing with these people. I'm like, I haven't heard from them in days. This makes me feel bad. Imagine if I didn't know this was bullshit. I mean, the psychological warfare, the emotional power that we give these people. Anybody.
Oh, yeah. You know why.
You give it to somebody. You give it to people in a relationship. But I mean, like, if I don't hear from them for a while, I get upset. I get depressed.
Yeah.
But why are they online? Why aren't they messaging me? I wonder what they're doing. They're up to no good. But on like Instagram, I can't even warn people because you can't get fake profiles. It's hard to really get fake profiles on Instagram. So basically, I can just eat up time. But I'm not even eating up time now because I feel like I need to twist. I need to change the power in this relationship.
Oh, the power balance is crucial.
Yes, I've lost. Fake Davin has lost the power balance. Not really, because you know I know what's going on. But like,
what happened to your pimp hand?
What?
What happened to your pimp hand?
Ah, you know what? Well, you know, that's why a Fake Davin is not messaging.
I see.
That's why Fake Davin, Fake Davin has been pushed one too many times. But there are some interesting twists and turns, and we will get to some of them soon. But yes, so I totally get it. But I'm watching this on 90 Day Fiancé. Like, oh, I hope you're happy. Everybody hates me. You're making me seem like the bad one. They don't know my side of the story. I'm like, you fucking cunt. You're a scammer.
It's like, yeah, and they're calling you out on your bad deeds.
Like she was supposed to fly to meet him three times, and she didn't show up three times. Like, one of the times, like, she was supposed to fly to meet Caesar in Mexico, and, like, the day of, she's like, oh, I can't make it. It's my mother's birthday. And all the panel's like, well, you know your mother's birthday that day is that day? It was, like, such a scammer answer.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's such bullshit. It's not like it crept up on you.
Yeah, exactly.
It never was going to happen that day.
Exactly.
Poor shit.
But anyway. All right. Let's take our break. We got a triple play of music. On the break, we got new music from Sandy K with No More Tools, Mr. Music versus Dr. Beat with You Predator, oh boy, and Marcel Delvan featuring Lane Lee with Face to Face. And you can learn more about those artists at khb-music.de. Hopefully Joe will be with us when we come back. If not, we got some Halloween stuff to talk about. Everybody's outraged over Halloween. I'll tell you what. There used to be the war on Christmas, and I'm sure there will be soon. Again, there's definitely a war on Halloween. So we'll get into that. And President Trump spoke at a black university, but he didn't invite so many of the black students, which is very weird.